morning. My name is Ozzie
Stallworth, and I've been afforded the great privilege to stand in for Nathan Adams, our regular pulpit preacher, to preach the Word of God to you today. I'm thankful to the Lord and to our leadership to have such an awesome opportunity to do so. Now, several months ago, we had a class on encouragement here, and it was a pretty good class. And you know, we are a pretty encouraging congregation. And this morning, I want to share with you that I've received quite a bit of encouragement as I was preparing to bring this message. And mostly, I was encouraged to keep it short. So I'm going to attempt to do just that. And it kind of brought back to my memory the first time I actually preached here. This was several years back. Now, that sermon went for 45 minutes. Now, the reason I remember that is because after the sermon was over, the sweetest sister that you could ever imagine, she came up to me, she shook my hand, and she looked me in the eye, and she said, "Ozzie, you preach for 45 minutes." She said, "But I enjoyed it." So I promise you that we will not get close to that 45-minute mark today. For the next few minutes, we're going to consider the depth of Jesus' love. Jesus said in John 15 and 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend." And we know that Jesus indeed laid down his life for us, suffering the cruel cross, the death on that cruel cross for you and I. The thing about this love that Christ has shown us is that it was something that was demonstrative or something that was demonstrated. In other words, Jesus actually did something to demonstrate his great love for us. Now, this was not something that he just said, but it was something that he actually did. We know that Jesus died for us. But his demonstration of love for us didn't start there, neither did it end there. There were lots of things that we're going to consider today to help us to understand the depth of his love. We tend to focus mostly on the fact that he died for us. And of course, Jesus himself said that there's no greater love than one who lies his life or lays his life down for a friend, which is why it is reasonable for this to be such a primary focus. But the depth of his love for us involves so much more. We'll take a few minutes to study and hopefully appreciate all the more some additional things that Jesus has done for us, demonstrating the depth of his love. According to Colossians 1 and 16, Jesus created all things in heaven and on earth. And in creating us, he created us in his own image, in his likeness. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he him. Male and female created he them. If you stop to think about this for a moment, Jesus made us to be just like him, an intelligent, spiritual being. He gave us a body, a spirit, and a soul. He didn't spare anything. And just for a moment, consider the awesome world that he provided for us to live in. Have you not witnessed the majesty of the sunrise, the radiant colors of the sunset that gives way to the darkest of nights, with skies bursting with the twinkling of more glistening stars than can ever be counted by man? The lakes, the voluminous oceans, the mountains that stretch high towards the heavens, all of these things Jesus made for us, for our benefit, for our enjoyment, because he loved us so. Again, from the very beginning, Christ showed his great love toward us by blessing us with the very best of everything. He saw to it that we had everything that we needed for fulfilled life, for happiness, for godliness. He made sure we had a home, a job, and a spouse perfectly suited for us. Now, that in and of itself is a demonstration of great love, but it didn't stop there. It wasn't long after he created us that Jesus had an opportunity to again demonstrate his great love to us. You see, once Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God. Their sin separated them from God, and they were in a position now where they needed a redeemer. Now, we know that the all-knowing God had planned from the foundations of the world to redeem man by the blood of the Lamb. But even so, Jesus made a decision from the very beginning that he was not going to give up on man, but that he would set a plan in motion that would take nothing less than his ultimate sacrifice, the shedding of his perfect, pure, and innocent blood to restore man to a proper relationship with God. Have you ever thought for a moment that God made man in one day? Now, surely, you know, after the fall of man, he could have scrapped the first model and drawn up a version 2.0 and maybe got a little bit of a better result than he did with Adam and Eve. Well, what we do know is that Jesus did not give up on us, but rather he set a plan in motion that would culminate with his death on a cross. Oh, what wonderful love Jesus has for us. The depth of his love is immeasurable. A part of this awesome plan to redeem man would also involve Jesus leaving his home to walk among men and to walk as a man. John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, in verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels and took on the seed of Abraham, becoming a man so as to experience everything a man experiences, such that he would be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, you and I. Hebrews 2:16-18 indeed tells us that Jesus became just like us in all things so that he would be able to be a merciful and faithful high priest for us. You see, he's our advocate before God, and he's uniquely positioned to represent us before the throne of God, because he suffered every temptation we will ever face, and therefore he is able to help with our temptations as well as to be a supreme advocate for us. See, our Lord didn't send someone else. He didn't send a surrogate to redeem us, but he determined to come to save us himself. Again, Jesus leaving his heavenly estate to live among man and like a man so that he could be a merciful and high priest, experiencing all the trials, the temptations, the hurts, the pains, the discomforts, the mean-spirited people that he had to face. All that we experience as humans is yet another awesome demonstration of his great love for us. This was a choice that he made. Indeed, the love of our Lord is boundless. He made us in his image. He left heaven for us. He is our advocate before God. And another amazing thing is that he has shared his sonship of God with us, making us co-heirs with him, in effect, sharing his full inheritance with the likes of us. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Galatians 4:4-7. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. We're all familiar with what receiving an inheritance is all about. And rarely, if ever, have you heard a situation or a story where someone is fighting to give away their inheritance or to share that full inheritance with someone else. Normally, it's a fight or a dispute to see how much more I can get. You know, years ago, I saw a bumper sticker. And that bumper sticker read, and I thought this was the worst bumper sticker ever. It said, I'm living on my children's inheritance. Well, the older I get, the more I kind of, I may try to purchase one of those myself. But Jesus loved us so much that through him we have inheritance of heaven and eternal life. A true sonship with God, where we're no longer called servants, but sons, worthy of the full inheritance of the Father. Jesus could have set up the parameters to be where we entered heaven as second-class citizens, but that's not what he did. He's told us that he's gone to prepare a place for us, a place of many mansions, and that's his plan for us. That's what he is sharing with us, something that was totally his, but he's made it ours as well. What wonderful love Jesus has for us. As we look deeper and deeper into the depths of Jesus' love for us, a clear pattern begins to emerge. Jesus' love is demonstrated through his actions, the things that he has done. In fact, we read in John 14:31, where Jesus said, "But that the whole world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do." So Jesus, who said early in John 14:21, that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And also said early in verse 15 of that same chapter, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus has modeled this for us through his own obedience to God. Therefore, we as children of God and joint heirs with Christ must also demonstrate our love for the Lord through our obedience to his commands. It is not about lip service or the things that we say. It's all about what it is that we do, just as it was with Jesus, our great example. Now, this is a perfect time, since we're talking about love in a relationship between obedience to God's commands and love, to point out that we are indeed commanded to love one another in John 15:17. James warns us that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest we deceive ourselves. Now, the most beautiful part about the love of Christ is that it's eternal and that there's nothing that can separate us from his awesome and wondrous love. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creation be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:35, 38, and 39. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given of us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man says, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Brothers and sisters, we are products of the love of God. Jesus has shown us the way and has commanded us to love one another in the same fashion that he has loved us. It is a high bar, but we know that we can do all things through the same Christ that loved us and who strengthens us. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments, just like he demonstrated his love to the Father by keeping the commandments of the Father. Jesus made the first step in that he loved us first, and he gave himself for us. Now we must love him back by keeping his word and following his commands to love one another. Understand that Jesus loves you. He loved you so much that even while we were lost in sin, he determined to leave heaven on a mission to redeem us so that we can enjoy the joys of heaven throughout all eternity with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus made all the provisions, and he wants you to share fully in his inheritance. We just simply have to bend to his will and follow his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my words. Jesus tells us in his word that we must first hear the word of the Lord in order to believe it. In Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Hebrews 11, 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We learn from God's word that we must also repent in Luke 13 and 3. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then we need to confess the name of Jesus before men and be baptized like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8 and 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And he was baptized according to the word of God for the remission of sin. It's found in Acts 2 and 38. This morning, have you heard the word of God? Do you believe the word of God? Are you ready to repent of your sins and follow God? Will you confess that Christ is the Son of God today? Will you be like the Ethiopian eunuch and take advantage of the nearest body of water? It's right behind me. And be baptized for the remission of your sins today to be added to the body of Christ. Jesus is waiting. The water is ready. Why not today? Make it today. If you have a need to really experience the fullness of the love of Christ, and he wants you to, because he loves you so. He died for this opportunity, for this hour, for the decision that you are needing to make right now. If you have been born again and put on Christ in baptism and have a need of a spiritual nature, we stand ready to receive you as well. Come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.